The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Factor.com studio inside the Beltway. Best news in the morning. The coronavirus vaccine has begun to be distributed to the public at large in Great Britain. It's not the first people to have received it. Thousands of people have received it. Thousands of people have received the Moderna vaccine. Thousands have received the AstraZeneca vaccine. Thousands have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But the key thing is this is the public getting it. And when the public gets it, everybody gets happy because that means it will eventually get to you. There are 20 million doses in the United States, enough for 20 million people by the end of December. So our hospital workers and our nurses and our frontline responders and many of the elderly in our retirement homes and communities will be vaccinated in December. Congratulations, Operation Warp Speed. From the top, Donald Trump, down to the delivery man and the nurse or the assistant in the nursing home is delivering the jabs, as they say. The second person to receive the jab in Great Britain was named William Shakespeare. I'm not making that up. One person on social media, according to the Washington Post, asked if Keenan was patient number one. If Keenan was patient 1A, then was Shakespeare patient to be or not to be? How about that? That's pretty awful. Let's check the Weather Center. This is the signal for the Weather Center in the Hugh Hewitt Show, the brand new Weather Center hosted by Dwayne. Where's the whiteboard?
It is not here.
It's not there?
No.
The Weather Center's not up and running?
No. I actually did one of the few sporting activities still legal in this state.
So you didn't do a whiteboard?
I went golfing yesterday. Instead of going to a store and waiting to get in line to a store to wait to be one of five people allowed into the store at a time to buy a whiteboard.
Well, we're not able to bring the people the weather that you said we were set up and ready to go. Okay, never mind. I was going to promote the after show. No, I was going to promote the after show.
Well, then promote the after show.
The universe is available.
I don't spend any time on the weather on the after show.
Well, you've got to. People are going to expect the Weather Center to provide the weather. The best gift for Christmas is a membership in the universe. Universe.com gets you an hour of Dwayne, Grumpy Dwayne, a day. At 8 p.m. in the west, in the east, 5 p.m. in the west.
Yes.
And that's Grumpy Dwayne right there. Thank you, Grumpy Dwayne. Go back, Eeyore, otherwise known as the weatherman. He took the weatherman meteorologist at night school, and it was wonderful. Now, the news of the day is beyond the rollout. Boris Johnson has got a great victory at home with the coronavirus vaccine, which was produced in the United States, but who's counting? He is off to Brussels to seek the way out of the Brexit stalemate because they got to get a deal by Thursday or there's going to be a hard Brexit. So he is flying off to in the hopes of making sure there isn't a hard Brexit. Meanwhile, President-elect Biden has made two nominations. He's nominated retired General Lloyd Austin, although it's not official yet. It's widely leaked, and so it's trial balloon. General Lloyd Austin, like General Mattis before him, was the chief of U.S. Central Command, which oversees all Middle East combat operations. So he has had probably, he was third in the line of command before. So now he'll be second in the line of command. President, Secretary of Defense, combatant commanders. So, and there are five combatant commanders. Maybe there are six now. I'm not sure. But there are five at least. And General Lloyd Austin was one of them in the era of the withdrawal from Iraq, which was a disaster. But that is not his fault. He was ordered to do it. He got it done. It was a pretty logistically challenging exit from Iraq, which led to the rise of ISIS. But that was not his call. That was Barack Obama's call, and for which he will always be remembered as the enabler of the rise of ISIS. But General Austin is a fine, fine general. And General Mattis did a job that was applauded by many and criticized by a few. But he knew what he was doing. He knew the building. And General Austin will know the Pentagon. So he is also African-American. So he'll be the first black Pentagon chief. He's 67 years old. He's the right age. He's been around. He knows what he's doing. Still has all of his energy. He will require a waiver, just as General Mattis got a waiver, because there's a bar on former military officers within 7 years of their retirement becoming the Secretary of Defense, and he is between 4 and 5 years since his retirement. Key thing to know, he's a personal friend of Joe Biden. Joe Biden went to his retirement ceremony. So the president-elect knows his Secretary of Defense. That is good. The second nominee is more problematic, Javier Becerra. Now, I've known Javier Becerra for a long time. He used to appear on my Los Angeles television show, Life and Times, when he was, I think, a member of the Assembly before he went to Congress and before he came back and became the Attorney General of California, appointed to that job, subsequently elected. Now he's going to be appointed to HHS. And the Wall Street Journal opines this is identity health care. I'm not sure. Javier Becerra has been very hard on the pro-life people, forcing them unconstitutionally to post abortion availability notices in their offices, for which he was rebuked by the Supreme Court. According to the Journal, he has no expertise in how drug and insurance market functions. He is lost on health care issues repeatedly. And he is, you know, he's a supporter of the Obamacare, but it's just unclear what this is other than identity politics, because he is, of course, Latino. And we will see what happens. I think thus far among all the nominees, he's the second weakest in terms of political support. I like him, by the way. I like Neera Tanden, who's the weakest in terms of political support. But I don't know. Usually there's at least one. Sometimes there are two confirmation scalps taken by the other party. Andy Puzder was the one taken by the Democrats when Donald Trump came in. Now we have two candidates for that. Javier Becerra might be it, or Neera Tanden might be it. I don't know. I generally defer to the president, who's been, I think they ought to be allowed to staff up any way they want. And then people will vote on their policies in 2 years. There's also a Washington Post story on the GOP's record-breaking success, reflecting a major shift on recruiting supporting female candidates. That's pretty terrific, too. Ross Douthat has a column in the New York Times blasting the Becerra choice, by the way, if you want to go read that. And the Financial Times has a story on the provocateur driving China's wolf warrior pack. The most outrageous comments come from one guy. I just remind people, he's just a mouthpiece for General Secretary Xi. Don't be confused. He's not out there freelancing. Now, I want to play for you. I played it a few times. Raphael Warnock wants to be the senator from Georgia. He's a radical. He's the most radical major party nominee with a chance to win that I can remember. He is hard left. He's not socialist. He's beyond socialist. He's just hard left on everything. And Raphael Warnock is a pastor, so he preached, and some people have his sermons in it. That's fine. There's no religious bar on being a preacher, but what you preach about matters. Here's what he said about the military. Can we find that and play that, please? Because I want to give a...
America,
go ahead.
Nobody can serve God and the military.
So can you play that again? He says, I'll slow it down. Nobody can serve God and the military. Play it again.
America, nobody can serve God and the military.
So he's addressing the entire country again, America. And here's what he says one more time.
America, nobody can serve God and the military.
So the New York Times rushed to defense last night in a story that said no one can serve God in the military is a theme that has roots in biblical passages. That's a quote. Now, that would be a surprise to King David, right? That no one can serve God in the military. Peter Beinart, man on the left, who I've known for a long time, like Peter, we've debated a few times, fired back on Twitter. You mean King David, who wasn't allowed to build the temple because he had shed blood? To which I replied, so are you saying King David did not serve God? Run with that, Peter. To which he replied, of course he served God, just saying there's a recognition, at least in Jewish tradition, of the tension between his militarism and the requirements of holiness. Now, I told him, look, I don't know what's in Jewish tradition. I know that a whole bunch of men of God and women of God have served in the military from the beginning of time and in Scripture. But they're not backing down and they're saying it's not radical. I would just like to know what Georgians and others, if you're a pastor, is it possible to serve God in the military if you're a soldier who's a believer? Because Raphael Warnick says no, and I say yes, and it's a big issue in Georgia. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384.
800-500-8384. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight.
Welcome back, America. That line, has ever that made more sense to you? Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Alex Azar on Fox and Friends yesterday, cut number 9.
Well, we are getting ready for possible rollouts of vaccine within days, and that's why tomorrow afternoon President Trump is hosting a vaccine distribution summit with many of our governors, our retail pharmacy chains, and our distributors like McKesson, FedEx, and UPS to be very transparent and show the world how comprehensively we have planned out every aspect of this distribution. And we hope that if everything goes well, we could be seeing the Pfizer vaccine distributed within days and the Moderna vaccine distributed within days after their hearing a week from Thursday.
So it's going to roll out across the United States, and this is great news. What we also need, though, is economic recovery. The vaccines will roll out through the United States. We'll save millions of lives. We'll all get inoculated. We will push this. It's very safe. It's got to be done, or otherwise other people will get sick. You'll get sick. Lots of people die from this, and we don't. That will be unnecessary. Everyone's got to get vaccinated. But we also need economic recovery, and Mitch McConnell is willing to make a comprehensive deal that renews PPP, some unemployment insurance, and provides liability protection for American business so they don't get aid on one hand and get sued by plaintiffs' lawyers on the other. And Mitch McConnell went to the Senate floor yesterday and spoke about Nancy Pelosi and Democratic brinksmanship, cut number 6.
We've reached a time of year when the Senate has more important outstanding business than we have days to complete it. Delivering for the American people will take focus, dexterity, and genuine bipartisanship. On government funding, as I've said for weeks, it's my hope that our committee's work will bear fruit and a full year funding package will come to the floor in both chambers. I anticipate that the Senate will take up a one-week extension this week so the government does not close on December the 11th, and work can continue through the end of next week. The nation needs our Democratic colleagues to resist the temptation to play brinksmanship with long-settled policy issues or push poison pill riders that they know would tank the process. We also expect to receive and pass a conference report on the annual defense authorization, and we need to continue confirming impressive nominees to vacancies in the judiciary and the executive branch. We senators are no strangers to a year of end-of-year drama. By this time, mistakes are far higher. We're up against another, even steeper surge in COVID-19 than we saw back in the spring. Workers and small businesses are once again struggling to make ends meet as states and localities step up precautions.
Now we need that bill, and Democrats are obstructing it. We need liability reform. We also need clarity on the Georgia Senate race. We got to keep Mitch McConnell in charge rather than sending the radical Raphael Warnock and the lightweight, hard left John Ossoff to the Senate. We got to send David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Now, I played for you the quote. Play it again. This is Raphael Warnock in the pulpit, cut number 4.
America, nobody can serve God and the military.
Josh in Dallas, is that true?
Quite frankly, Hugh, no. Because throughout Scripture, there's a concept called the Day of the Lord. And in the Holy Bible, when it speaks about the Day of the Lord, God is talking about this future day when the Messiah will come and wage war. This is in the Holy Scripture. Wage war with the unrighteous, you can say, on this earth. So synonymously, when you talk about war and when you speak of God, it's all throughout the Holy Bible.
Yeah, wasn't David a warrior king?
He definitely was. At the age of around 13, David was already battling in war against Goliath.
And all the judges led people into battle. It's the craziest thing that Peter Beinart said, that there's a tension in Jewish tradition between military service and holiness. And I just do not believe that. I think he's confusing the murder that David arranged with his military service. But Peter, he can speak for himself. Thank you, Josh. 1-800-520-1234. What do you think about the radical Warnock statement on God and military service? Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. This carol commemorates Herod's ordering of his soldiers to slaughter innocents. So certainly military power has been associated with genocide and with terror and with mass killing. But there is no necessary contradiction between serving God and the military. In fact, the people who liberated the death camps were military. So I'm going to talk in the next third hour with Howard Mortman about some of the American rabbis who've opened Congress who also served in the military. It's an amazing story that Howard has written. But when Raphael Warnock said this, cut number 4.
America, nobody can serve God and the military.
Obviously, it opened up a huge gash in Georgia, which is a very pro-military state with a lot of bases. And obviously, Kelly Loeffler, his opponent, is going to draw attention to that radical statement. So the New York Times attempted to cover for him last night and said that, I'm paraphrasing here, I've got it around somewhere, that has tradition as biblical roots. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That's just the New York Times. They said, quote, is a theme that has roots in biblical passages. A theme, no, it's not, it's a quote, that has roots, in other words, huh, roots? What verses are you talking about? In biblical passages. Now, I don't know what their argument is, but I called for a fact checker and Peter Beinart arrived and said, oh, no, wait a minute. King David wasn't allowed to build the temple because he had shed blood. And I believe that refers to the murder, not the military service of King David, who clearly was a hero and the epitome of kingship in the Old Testament. But I open it up to you. What do you think? David in Louisville.
I've got four specific New Testament passages concerning service in the military and the God. Luke 3:14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Matthew 8. The centurion had a sick servant, came to Jesus, and Jesus said he would come and heal the servant, and the centurion, who is a Roman officer, said that he's not worthy for Jesus to come, but as an officer, he gives orders, and that he believed if Jesus gave the order that his servant would be healed, and Jesus said that he had not seen such great faith anywhere in Israel. Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Those were the first believers after the crucifixion. Acts 10:1. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. But I'll tell you, you definitely cannot serve God and the Democratic Party.
Oh, stop, David. I just answered that. Yes, you can. There are lots of Democrats who are God-fearing. But I will ask you this. Isn't King David a soldier?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. That was eloquent and on point. I just say King David's the easiest one. David in Bakersfield, California. What do you think, David?
That Raphael feller, he had to pay attention to the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I was in the Marine Corps. I served my God and I served my country. George Washington had two mottos that he lived by: deeds, not words. And the second one was for my God and for my country.
David, well said. Thanks for your service. Mark in Washington, D.C. What do you say, Mark?
Hey, morning glory, Hugh.
Morning glory.
So I'm going to take off. Peter Beinhart, I believe, insulted my religion with his comments on Twitter last night. For those of your listeners who aren't familiar, when Jews pray on a Saturday, there's a scripture reading, and it's done so that you read the whole five books of Moses once in weekly chunks throughout the year. One of those chunks from the book of Deuteronomy is entitled "When You Go Out to War." And it's one of the first ever recorded codes of ethical conduct in war given in Scripture by God to Moses. And every believing Jew would believe that there is an ethical way to conduct yourself in war.
Oh, I didn't know that. So Peter Beinart coming off with David, there's a tension in Judaism between military service and worshiping God. That's just nonsense.
That's Peter Beinart defining Judaism as what Peter Beinart believes. You can go throughout the major book of rabbinic thought that forms the basis of modern Judaism, the Talmud, and they talk about the need for righteous wars, the need to fight during to defend yourself, and what the rules that apply to that are and what the rules that apply to that are not. And so for him to say that there's a tension in Judaism between military service and honoring God exists only in Peter Beinart's mind.
I believe that to be true. I do think they're very defensive about Raphael Warnock because that is a deeply offensive comment that you cannot serve God in the military. I know a lot of faith-based soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. I know a lot of them.
No, absolutely. So I was more personally exercised about Peter Beinhart's tweet to you than I was about anything that the Senate candidate said.
Okay.
I have every confidence that Senator Loeffler will be returned to the Senate.
Well, well said, Mark. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike.
Hey. Listen, I served many years in the Marine Corps. I also serve in the church. And the Bible says, yes, a did David this? God did say that David was a bloody man. But he also said that he was a man after God's own heart.
Yep. Yep. I mean, David is the complete practical and I think widely understood repudiation of Pastor Warnock and Peter Beinart's assessment. Thank you, my friend. Let me give you an update on the market. Brought to you by Birch Gold. I am encouraging everyone to buy gold this Christmas because given the way the market is, it's the gift that will give on stability. If you have got an IRA or a 401k, a portion of it ought to be invested in physical precious metals, and Birch Gold will help you do that. All you have to do is go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com, and they'll send you a free information kit. Or you can text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747, and they'll be right back to you with the same free information kit. And they sell gold, and when they buy gold, they'll also throw in some free silver dollars, which are great stocking stuffers. But the key thing are the American Eagles and the Canadian Maple Leafs that your children or your family can put away in a safety deposit box against all future ups and downs in the economy. It just never loses all of its value. It usually just goes up. Gold this morning is at 1,865. Remember last week it was 1,790 or something like that. I last bought it at close to $2,000, and I have no regrets because it's not for buying and selling, it's for keeping. And what you need to do is get some gold and make sure that you have a diversified savings account. Birch Gold brings you this market report. It was a mixed day on the market yesterday. The Dow was down 148. The NASDAQ, as I predicted on this show yesterday, was up 55 because the high-tech stuff and the online stuff is going to survive the pandemic just fine. It's some of the old companies that are hurting. But overseas this morning, everything is red. They're afraid of a hard Brexit. They're afraid that Boris Johnson and his EU counterpart cannot pull it out. And the world is worried about that, and they're worried about coronavirus spiking everywhere. Can the supply of the vaccine catch up quickly? There is the National Defense Act, and Trump can take over Pfizer if he needs to and direct all that wherever it ought to go. I don't think he's going to have to do that, but he could do that. There will be a vaccine summit today, and we'll see what comes out of the vaccine summit. But hopefully the market turns around later in the day. Let me also appeal to you about our friends over at Prison Fellowship, and I just want you to focus for a moment on the children who don't have mom or dad at home because they are in prison, and they've been there for a number of years. And it takes a lot of work by Angel Tree, a Ministry of Prison Fellowship, to bring together more than 300,000 children and their parents. And they work with the parents who are in prison, and they work with the parent or guardian who is at home to make sure that the parent in prison knows what the child wants. And then, with your donation, they go and find a present for that child that is age-appropriate and appropriate for the father or the mother to send from behind bars, and they put a note in it. And they connect those kids. They also put in a Bible, English and Spanish, and they deliver it. That helps enormously. You heard Michael on this show yesterday talking about Angel Tree has been with him for his years of growing up and how special it is. Here is a volunteer on the Angel Tree distribution side from Dawn from Dallas, who knows that every donation, large or small, is important and has the potential to literally change the life of a child.
Personalize that. The little bit that you give, if we all give something, we are better together. If every single one right now, even if you are impacted in some stretch, the more that you give, the more you receive. I always say you can't outgive God. So you give without knowing where it's going to go. Just pay it forward and see the results, see the blessings that God will bring back into your life.
And the blessings it brings to those children are immense. And the big trouble this year, I've said it before, you probably heard me say it, is that Angel Tree is a patio ministry, meaning that people come out of church, they've heard a great sermon, they see the Angel Tree, and they say, I'm going to give of my, even of my need, I'm going to give the widow's mite, or I'm going to give out of my surplus, I'm going to give a big gift, I'm going to give the best gift I can, and they write a check to Prison Fellowship, or they take a name off of a tree, or they do that. Well, all those church patios are either working, there aren't donuts to be had, there are no Christmas tree bake sales. There's just nothing happening this year because of the virus. It'll be back next year. But this is the year where Angel Tree will really need you. And so if you go to HughHewitt.com and just go to the top, you'll find the Angel Tree banner. Please be as generous as possible. Please. This is the year. Just imagine those children not getting a present It would, and a note from mom or dad. Eric in Houston, what do you think about Pastor Raphael Warnick's comments on the military, Eric?
Yeah, it's great to talk with you this morning.
Thank you.
You said you can't serve God and the military, right? Of course you can. David slew Goliath, whose forces were against God. Saul disobeyed God on the battlefield. The Roman centurion displayed great faith, which amazed Jesus. And Jesus said, whosoever believes shall not perish. And then there's me. I served the Marine Corps over 10 years, sought, learned, and served God for my 60 years of life to this date. So I don't know what he's actually saying.
I don't either. It doesn't make a lick of sense other than he's the most radical guy running for Senate in the United States that I've ever heard of. Eric, thank you for your service and your testimony this morning. I appreciate it. David Drucker is next, America, on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined now by David M. Drucker, the Washington Examiner. David, like me, has spent a lot of his adult life in California. And David, Gavin Newsom faces an unenviable choice. He's got to replace Kamala Harris in the Senate. He looks like he's going to have to replace Javier Becerra in the attorney generalship. I personally believe there's a lot of advantage if he puts a self-funder, a deep-pocketed billionaire, into the Senate seat, because they're going to be running together in November of 2022. What do you think he's going to do?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to apply a sort of diverse field of replacements, right? So you still don't have in California a lot of Latinos in the upper echelons of elected politics statewide, although they've been prevalent in the state house. And so I think there's going to be a lot of pressure there. And I think that goes for the Senate seat as well. And, I mean, look, he's got a lot of big problems right now. Filling seats is the least of them. But for somebody who does have ambitions, I think, beyond the California governor's office, I think that these are going to be important picks for him from a political standpoint within the Democratic Party.
Karen Bass, longtime African-American congresswoman from Los Angeles, wants the job, as do other people like Alex Padilla, who would check the diversity box. But I'm a very practical guy. California is going to be a $100 to $150 million state. And if someone like Peter Thiel runs against him, or Undersecretary Kroc of the State Department runs against him, he's going to have a huge race on his hands. And the practical side of finding a deep pocket, I just don't know who in Silicon Valley brings billions to the table who is liberal enough for the state.
Well, I think the bigger issue, Hugh, is number one, anybody that he would pick from the House, even from a safe Democratic seat, would for several months leave Nancy Pelosi down a seat when she's got, what, like a 4 or 5 seat majority. So I don't know how you pick anybody out of the House, even when you know that in a special election they're going to be replaced by a Democrat, because for several months with a lot of, I mean, forget tough votes, any votes, they need every vote that they can get, and I think there's going to be pressure to leave the House alone, and you're seeing that in Joe Biden's picks for his new administration. That's number one. Number two, I don't think you have to worry about a Senate race. I think a federal race in California statewide, a Democrat will win, and especially with the top two primary system, you'll end up with two Democrats in the general election going against each other. I do think, from a statewide perspective, depending on how much backlash there is to how Newsom is handling this latest wave of the coronavirus with the lockdown policies and policies relating to school closures, that, a self-funder could potentially do some damage, somebody who is either slightly center-right or maybe only slightly center-left. But I still wonder, how much that comes into play, number one, especially with the top two primary system, and number two, just given how blue the state is at this time until, we see, proof that maybe a sort of moderate centrist Republican can do some damage.
Well, also remember, with Becerra going to HHS, and I can't imagine he's going to be turned down. I think they're going to focus most of their fire on Neera Tanden. They're going to have to appoint an attorney general who also, they're going to be three new, they're going to be Gavin Newsom and two new faces on the November 22 ballot. One of those had better be, in my view, an Asian American, if you're going to pick an eight, because that's the demographic that is not served statewide, ever. Never been served statewide, except for the March Fong Yu, who was on the, you know, permanently Secretary of State for like 100 years. So I just, wasn't she? Well, I mean, it was March Fong Yu. I can remember that in my sleep.
Yeah, I know, me too. I hadn't thought about that in a long time, but
yeah. But, I mean, she was just the automatic Secretary of State forever, and they had good elections, by the way. She did a good job. So I just think it's fascinating, David, because there is a backlash in California. Dwayne grumbles about it every morning. And literally every morning he's grumpy about having to stand in line to get the Weather Center whiteboard done. Have you heard about this yet? There's a recall underway.
Yeah, look, you know, I mean, you and I have been through a recall, and so I think, you know, let's see if there's some money behind the signature gathering and who might emerge as a potential candidate, because both money and candidates mattered in 2003. But I think there's a lot of frustration. You know, I was following my buddy, John Myers, who's the LA Times bureau chief, on Twitter last night, and he was talking about the fact that Gavin Newsom takes a lot of questions about what are you doing now, and he keeps talking about what he did months ago or what he already did do and not how he's going to handle things going forward. And, you know, politics aside, I think there's a lot of frustration, especially because this time around there hasn't been, as of yet, any assistance from the federal government to soften the blow, and Newsom's, you know, getting a lot of questions about some of the uneven choices that are being made in California, some of which may be necessary, but it doesn't seem to be explained all that well, and people are frustrated.
Keep your eye on Peter Thiel and Undersecretary of State Kroc. I mean, these are the two Republicans who could conceivably do the recall or do the statewide Senate race if people have had it with Democrats come November of 2022. David M. Drucker on Twitter. Thank you, David. Coming right back, America. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Straight ahead. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.